Yeah, praise the Lord. Don't worry, be happy. Hallelujah. You know, years ago, and I just listened to that because it kind of makes me think of a few things. Years ago, I used to play this joke on this friend of mine we used to go to church with, and he, you know, always wanted to be super spiritual and everything, so I would tease him about, you know, even though the minor prophets in the Old Testament, you know, Zechariah, Zephaniah, all of those, you know. So we would tell him, did you read, I would tease him and say, well, did you read Hephaniah? Did you read this and that? And he's like, well, I said, well, your assignment is to go and read Hephaniah. You know, I'd make up all these goofy names, you know. And then the next week, did you read those? I did. They were amazing. I'm like, wow, that's scary, because I was playing a joke on him, and scary that he came back and told me he read them. So anyway, that just kind of reminded me that don't worry, be happy. Many people would say, you know, if you would tell a lot of Christians to say, well, don't worry, be happy, like the Bible says, and they would nod.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like godliness is, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Those scriptures, you know, that don't exist, you know, but you have all these people that would be... Don't worry, be happy. That's a Christian song. That's biblically based, and people. But it is true. It's a biblical concept, right? Okay, we won't. All right, we'll cut us some slack. But anyway, so the little dinky people, all right, the little people, and the soon to be big people, all right, can exit thusly over there. We'll let them go today. All right, this is just absolutely amazing. All right, we are just, look at us go. Yippee skippy. All right. Faith. We're going to talk more about faith today. You know, faith is not a formula. We've made it a formula sometimes, haven't we? Faith is a relationship. Faith is knowing someone. Faith is, you know, this is often why we go, I've gone shipwrecked before. I'll just tell you right now, I've had faith failures. And here's the thing, if you haven't had, you know, one of my old bosses was the owner of, his name is Gary Vermeer. He owned Vermeer Manufacturing. He invented the big round baler. He invented a lot of things that, you know, a lot of amazing. I think it's like the stump cutters, and you know, he invented all kinds of stuff. And one thing he said was like, you know, if you're not failing, like at least, you know, 70% of the time, you're not trying hard enough. And God, what happens is if we have a faith failure in our life, we just quit. No, you keep going, right? I have been around people before, and they just quit. Something happens, and they quit. You know, the people who are successful, this isn't a successful talk, but it's the people who are successful are the people who don't quit. They're the ones that usually outlast. The people who are, you know, often it's just, you just don't give up. That's faith. Faith is sometimes you don't feel like it. And I know that, you know, you read Brother Hagin, and we read these books of the people like Lester Summerhall. We, some of my heroes of the faith, I've just been doing a lot of studying on like Smith Wigglesworth and some other things. And I actually found, it was really cool, this week I found like one of the only video footage of Smith Wigglesworth online. I found it. It was so cool watching him, you know. I was like, whoa. It was just so cool to see that. And I kind of dug it up. But anyway, but it's a series called, I think it's God's Generals. And they go through Catherine Kuhlman, Smith Wigglesworth, just a lot of different kind of those. And anyway, there was a lady that was in Los Angeles. I know I'm digressing, but just humor me for a minute. But the story is the guy that was the author that, you know, wrote these things, and I think he was Lester Summerall was his mentor, so it's like his spiritual father. But anyway, which Lester Summerall was, you know, connected with Smith Wigglesworth back in the day. But anyway, so there was a family, this lady had a footage of Smith Wigglesworth, and she lived in Los Angeles. Well, he said, could I get a copy of that footage? And she said, no, it's my family's. So I'm like, okay. So we'd call back every 6 months and say, is she still alive? She's still alive? She's still alive? It's not bad. So anyway, and then finally they said, no, she passed away, and the family gave her some footage of him, and it was kind of amazing. So anyway, it's just really cool. So, you know, I think it's God's Generals, and there's Smith Wigglesworth on there. I think we've got the DVDs or some other things too. But anyway, it was just amazing. But with these people, that's the thing, faith, these people that are we consider faith giants have enormous opportunities to quit. You know, you look at Smith Wigglesworth here, and, I haven't got to a scripture yet, but I will, okay? So it'll be biblical-based today, all right? So we'll pull out some scriptures, but just bear with me, all right? But, you know, like Smith Wigglesworth, I mean, do you know that he started as children's minister? He taught children, and he stuttered, he couldn't talk. Well, Moses couldn't talk either. He stuttered, right? And Moses said, well, you know, the interesting thing is when God, the Lord told, God, you know, told Moses, and he said, hey, you're going to do this, and he said, I can't talk. And you know, God didn't say, oh, well, in that case, right, oh, since you mentioned it, since you mentioned it. No, he said, oh, Aaron's your guy. He'll step in and help you out, right? You know, God doesn't give us any excuses. I mean, there's not an excuse with God. I can't talk. You know, here's the thing, guys. So Smith Wigglesworth was never, I mean, he wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit for quite a while. And so he would take a pony through town. All the kids would come, and he'd say, hey, I'll give you a ride on a pony, but you got to come to church. So he'd do all these things, right? And so anyway, he would do that, and he ended up in a meeting about baptism of the Holy Spirit, got baptism of the Holy Spirit, and instantly his stuttering problems and his speech impediment left. Supernaturally, like that, when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then from there, his wife was a, and I can, you've heard stories about Smith Wigglesworth. Well, his wife was just like him, okay? She was a pistol. Yeah. And anyway, she just said, that's a different Smith. I want what he's got. But these people have always had opportunities to quit because either they have, you know, God isn't always looking for the most talented person. He's not always, he's just looking for obedient people that will put one foot in front of the other one and just believe what he has to say. Right? And these many of these people that are faith people, I don't think Catherine Kuhlman had she didn't even have a high school education. These people weren't educated. They just love God, and they just want to be around him. And through their faith developed through those times with him. Now, Brother Hagin, again, he pulled us out of the ditch because so many people during the charismatic movement were doing so many weird things that, you know, he had to pump the brakes and go, whoa. People crawling on their bellies, us puking in buckets. I mean, this is unbiblical. You know, we've got to come back to some, we got to bring some ground here, right? Because anytime you're going to spend time with God, you know, God is not going to humiliate you. He's not. He's not going to, and I've had professors at some of my instructors at Rhema that have been in meetings where, you know, there's been demonic manifestations where people will crawl on their belly like snakes and everything else too. That's not God. He's not doing that kind of stuff, right? We need to know the word. We need to know his character. He's not going to humiliate people. But sometimes, you know, he's going to call us to do things that are absolutely uncomfortable. Yeah. And he's going to crucify your flesh in the process, right? And to get back to faith, kind of what, you know, Bill Johnson was talking about too, and I've said this before, but a little bit different way. You know, we often ask the why question. Why did this not happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? But faith just keeps going, right? And sometimes in the midst of faith, you know, Adrian and I were just talking about this last night, just about how we've experienced things in faith that have worked, but then we go back to what we know. You know, it's like a trick or something. You know, well, this worked for me in the past. I'm going to do this. Wait a minute. What did the Holy Spirit? See, relationship and faith comes into play, and it says, what is God saying now at this time? Right? Because Jesus did things where he walked up to a blind man and said, you know, spit in the dirt, rub mud on his eyes, and he was healed. Other times, you know, I mean, here he is. He's going along, and then, you know, the Roman centurion comes along and he says, no, just speak the word. And Jesus is like, what? Okay, well, your faith intervened. And other times he would, you know, just speak the word. Other times he would lay hands on people. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. I mean, why don't you just have a one-trick thing? You just beep, beep, healed. Right? Just a one trick. No, Jesus did things different all the time, and it's about being led by the Spirit. It's about obeying God, right? So we can't be in this cookie cutter faith thing all the time, right? Now, we always start with the Word. If we don't know what's going, I remember years ago we talked to us before. I mean, we were in our kitchen and Adrian wasn't feeling very well. It was weird. And I'm speaking the Word, laying hands on her, blah, blah, blah. And I heard this, anoint her with oil. I'm like, whatever, I know because I've listened to Brother Hagin and this is what he says and blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Ghost is going, anoint her with oil. And I'm just like, I know what I'm going. No. And then what happened? Well, I just obeyed God and then it happened, right? Things worked out. Well, and I've tried to be less hard-headed since then and many other times, right? Where things will just be, I don't understand it. And there are just times where, we talked about where you just, there's nothing to do, right? Like if you're standing for finances or for something, what are you going to do? Oh God, please, Jesus, help me, Jesus. I mean, what are you going to do, right? You just have to stand in faith sometimes. There's nothing to do. I've had it before where it's just, I just have to stand there and, God, I'm standing on your faith. I thank you for the finances. I thank you for this. I thank you for this. I thank you for this. And he works it out. And, sometimes we think we're faith and power, but sometimes we're paste and flour, I mean, we're kind of sweating it out, sweating to the oldies, It's like, oh, God, I got this bill I got to take care of, right? Or anything else. So, we can act like we've been super spiritual our whole lives, but the point is, we've sweated at some point, either in young or even now sometimes, but guess what? It's knowing Him. It all comes down to that, right? And we can get into religion, formulas. This is what happened. This is what Brother Hagin did. Kenneth Copeland does it this way. Right? And it's like, the Holy Ghost is going, I'm not going there today. Right? This dog ain't hunting down that road. Right? We're going over this direction. And it is some things we just have to wake up to, right? And so, you see people like the Smith Wigglesworth, you see people like these things where they didn't have these big mentors, They didn't have the Brother Higgins. They didn't have these things, They didn't have Rhema. They didn't have YouTube to go look at stuff. They didn't have all this other stuff, right? It's just your knees hit the ground and you spend time with God. Remember times when, there's a story of Lester Summerall. This guy was extremely wealthy. And, Smith Wigglesworth was there. And Smith Wigglesworth was in horrible financial situation. I mean, it was awful. And he was really close friends with this guy. Smith could have said, I need some money. Really need the stuff here. And the guy probably would have done it for him. And so Smith was staying with this gentleman, and this guy was asking Smith, how's things going? And he goes, I don't have a care in the world. Who's our source, right? Who's our source, right? Now, we collectively as a body, we're saying, hey, we're believing for these things. We're believing for, finance come in right? But I've had those people before, they'll have prayer or they'll have those testimonies and everything, And it's okay to let people know, right? Different things, But, I just want to let Gary know that I am believing for a GMC truck. So, and, a really nice, similar to the one that you've got. Yeah, I really like the one you've got. And I'm believing God for that. See, it's just, we can do weird stuff like that, right? And we'll say, we're believing God. No, we're not. Yeah. Mr. Gary, your truck is beautiful. You keep your truck, okay? We're not, but the point is, it is a sweet truck, but and I've got a truck. But anyway, but the point is we can do goofy stuff like that, right? We can say we're in faith, but then, right? And there's nothing wrong with letting people know. But again, where is our faith at? Are we really trusting in God that God is so good that he's going to meet our needs according to riches and glory? Are we trusting in him that he's going to, that the healing is going to be manifest in our body? Right? Because the Bible does say that I can live a long life, right? The righteous will eat the good land. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Hello? He is good God. And so we're not, it's not just focusing on, we do focus on Scripture, but the Scripture reflects the person. The Scriptures show us who God is, who Jesus. Jesus was a face of God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? This Bible and Jesus and everything is nothing but a reflection of the character of God. See, when Jesus showed up on the earth, the thought process was, and again, you know, many times in the Old Testament, it was thought, well, let's just, for example, you know, the Israelites show up. Moses is the one that runs to the mountain. Everybody's like, you do it, and we'll just stand back here. That looks kind of scary, right? Well, who got all the intimate time with God? Moses, the one who went to the mountain. The one who had the intimate time with him. Second Corinthians 2:9, it says, but as I'm gonna kind of bounce through some of these today. We've already kind of talked about some of them, but it's a good reminder. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It is a heart issue, right? It's a heart issue. We're not going to find God's plan out here on YouTube. We're not going to find God's plan for our lives or whatever direction it is. What we need, it's a spiritual matter. And again, the Spirit of God has commissioned some things on you today to discover, overcome, conquer. You know, just think about it. Throughout your life, there is a journey. You look at things, for example, there is a time where God, when your development with him, where he will ask you what you think. Imagine that. God is interested in your opinion. We see Moses. I mean, I just get scared all the time when I read Moses because I'm thinking, if God and Moses got on the same page and their irritation with the children of Israel, that would have been a really bad day, right? Because God is like, man, I'm just going to wipe them out. I'm fed up with these bunch of hoodlums. And then Moses would sit back and go, you know what, God, wait a minute here. Now, everybody's going to say, you brought him out here to kill him and everything. And, you know, God's like, okay, fine. And then you see other times Moses is like, God, just kill him. Just get him. I'm tired of him. And then God say, oh, my love and mercy. It's like, now, if they were on the same page, there'd be a big trouble for all of us, okay? I'm just saying, Israel would have been wiped out. You know, it's not good, right? Hello? So, you know, and especially when, and I still think Abraham missed it. You know, when the Lord came down, the angels came, and they said, hey, we're going off over to Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to kill, you know, we're going to judge it and everything. And he says, what if there's 50 righteous? And they're like, yeah, okay. What if there's 40? And then down to 10. Okay, Abraham, you should have went to one. You missed it, buddy.
Right?
You know, what if God would have said, okay, there's just one. But see, that's relationship. Because why in the world do they stop off and have a bite to eat with Abraham along the way? What was the purpose? They're angels. Do they need to eat? Probably not. I don't know. Went down to 10. What if they went down to one? Maybe they were trying to get the feedback from Abraham, right? God is interested in what you have to think, right? Now, there are times in my life where God is just like, you do this, you shut up, so I'm like a stupid baby and get moving, right? He'll talk to you like that. He's done that to me before. Or ask him dumb questions and I don't hear anything. It's just crickets. Because it's like, okay, do I really need to even, you know, God's like, okay, do I really need to answer this stupidity? You know, I'm look back and I'm thinking, okay, I know why he didn't say anything because it was a dumb question, and, you know, sometimes God doesn't answer dumb questions. So, but he is interested in us. Now, Mark 11, 22. I'm reading the Passion, so I am going to try to, because I've read the King James like 50 billion thousand times, the scripture, and I'm going to try to read it without have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, so shall not. I won't go there, all right? I promise I'm going to try it different today. So let me find it here. It is in this Bible, I think, right?
Yeah, Mark.
Is it Mark? Is it? Did they add it with the Passion? Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure. Did they include the 11th chapter? Yeah. So, I don't know. If I can get the... I don't think this is a Baptist Bible where the book of Acts is missing,
nope.
But... Didn't get that, huh? I'm kidding. Where is the second chapter of Acts? And that's not in there anymore. Mark 11, 22. Jesus replied, "Let the faith of God be in you." Now, King James says, "Have the faith of God," right? And the commentary says, "Have the God kind of faith," right? I like this because it says, "Let the faith of God be in you." So guess what? It's not your faith anyway. I just got to have faith. I got to have faith. No, you got to have God's faith. And there's a difference between that. I can have faith of sitting on this chair today. I can have faith I get in my car and it's going to start. I'm going to have faith in some other things. But that's not God faith, is it? That's just, I've been around the block enough. I know that, you know, don't light a match around gas. You know, just stupid stuff like that. That's not faith. That's just, you just understand things over time because you grow up, right? So that's not God kind of faith. But the God kind of faith comes from God. Romans 5:5, we have a measure of faith, right? We have a measure of faith. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So guess what? Number one, if we're born again, our nature's changed, we don't have our faith. It is God putting that measure in us. We always think it's all about us. All about us. I was listening to Catherine Kuhlman the other day, and it was made such an amazing statement. All of these, I saw some video footage of her, and all these, you know, smart, like, you know, reporters were asking her all these questions and everything. Oh, you're a faith healer. And she goes, I'm not a faith healer. I haven't healed anybody ever. God's the one that heals, not me. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Tell him. Right? Always, you know, always, media's always trying to make everybody so weird. You know, like you're... No, it's not us at all. It's God working through us, working through you. Don't like that, huh? Okay. And then it says, listen to the truth I speak to you. If someone says to this mountain with great faith and having no doubt, mountain be lifted up, thrown in the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Now, where did this faith come from? So here's the thing, guys. If we don't have the God kind of faith, we can say all day long and nothing's going to happen. But we've got to have the measure in us. It comes from God. And again, we think that we're the ones generating this faith. Now, Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? It is a meditation. The measure that's in us, it grows as we meditate on the word. But where did that measure come from? God. when we're born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're a new creature. Behold, all things pass away. All things become new, right? So let's get out of the works mentality. Let's get out of, I'm trying to make everything happen on my own. Because you know what? If you're trying to make it on your own, then you're not in faith. Well, I just don't know if I have faith in it. I don't know. You're right. You don't have any faith. God does. And it's been put in you. Remember, I was one time I was praying for somebody at the hospital. And, you know, you're used to responses. Like, you know, often when I prayed for people, they would recover in a couple of days. And, you know, it was a process. Their body's mending. This person was on her deathbed. And when I touched her, I said, the name of Jesus. She just went, jerk, like that. I'm like, okay. And didn't see any change or anything. And then, I mean, she was on her deathbed, gone, like next day or two. Doctor just said, you're done. I mean, you're instantly healed. Doctors are flipping out, like, what in the world is going on? Right? Now, did I feel super spiritual at that time? No. It was after work. You know, completely carnal. Right? I was, you know, didn't pray in the Holy Ghost for 10 hours and I didn't see angels and was not meditating on the word for. I was not fasting for 40 days, right? I'm just like, God, you're going to have to show up and do this. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to do those things. I'm not saying that at all. But I never rely on myself. I just decide, you know what? I'm not healing anybody anyway. If it happens, it happens. It doesn't. I'm here. I'm showing up. God's with me. And let's make something happen, Lord. I mean, he's the one that's going to do it anyway. The pressure's off. Pressure's off. I mean, and the most amazing thing was I've had people where I've prayed for them. They died a few hours later, but they got born again. Yeah. You know? So. And then what happens is, here's the danger we get into. Why didn't they get healed? I don't care. They're in a better place now. Right? Not that I don't care about the person. But what happens is it's off of me. I can't heal anybody anyway. Why in the world am I going to stay up at night worrying about why this happened, why this didn't happen, or why this happened, you know? Faith is grounded in the person. What happens is this. Here's what happens. If something doesn't happen the way we think, we begin, what do we start doing? What does everybody do? Questioning the character of God. And that's exactly what the devil wants to attack. Is the character of God. Why didn't he do this? Really none of my business. None of my business. But it's not gonna diminish my faith in him. Right? Brother Hagin had that too before, and he's one Lord and got his sister healed one time and then didn't happen again. And he had an experience, was in heaven, and she's like, oh, don't even worry about it. It was me, you know. He was all upset because she didn't get healed the second time. The Lord says, it's really none of your business. See, we destroy our faith, and in those moments when things don't go the way that we think so, we always take it on ourselves, like, and it's kind of an ego pride for us, right? It's an ego thing for us if something doesn't happen. I'm just here to pray. That's it. I'm the container. I'm the jumper cable. God's got the power to make things happen. Whatever happens, I'm still going to praise God. It's still wonderful. God's still on the throne. I'm going to have my joy. Nothing's going to change that. Because guess what? Every person I've talked to, not every person has gotten born again either. Oh God! Oh. No, they have a free will, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember, we were watching that video last week about I think it was last week about Bill Johnson's, I think it was his son, talking about, you know, one of their church elders died of cancer, and then his grandfather died that started the church of cancer. And not everybody's gotten born again. Not every person that I've laid hands has been healed, but there have been some people that should have been 6 feet under that weren't because I did pray. And there are people who are going to spend eternity with Jesus because I did talk to him. So we can, the devil wants to look at the failure. I choose to look at the success, right? And you know what? I want my percentages to start changing. I want my batting average to go up, right? And I have something to do with that too, right? I want my batting average to get up. We can do that. Amen. My goal is Jesus. Will I hit it? Probably not. But it's a goal, right? Brother Hagin says, when I was in prayer school with Jim Hockaday, he's like, you know, him and Brother Hagin would say these things. He's like, you know, I'd rather shoot for the moon and get halfway there, you know? But if you, you know, shoot for your doorstep, it's not a big goal, right? Yeah. Most people, it's like, oh, my goal is the refrigerator. Food. I got the talk this morning before. Daddy, you always talk about food. We don't like being in there. Good. I said a refrigerator. I did not specifically talk about pizza or steak or anything scrumptious that we're going to eat in a little bit. I'm kidding. So, Pastor, going to wrap it up now? We're getting there. In the name of Jesus. But faith, amen? Faith is in a person, not a manifestation. We think that if God is real or not, we judge it on the manifestation. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Now, God will manifest himself in things, right? But my faith is in a person. It's the God faith, the God kind of faith, like in Matthew or Mark chapter 11. It's the God faith in us, that we have trust in him, not the manifestations. I don't care about the manifestations. I care about the person, God, my Father, the one I worship, the one I serve. He'll back me up. I'm not trying to work a manifestation. And too much of the church is that. Well, I tried that faith stuff. It doesn't work. No, you don't work. It's not that faith stuff. It is God showing up himself, his byproducts. Whatever God shows up, there's healing. Wherever God shows up, there's provision. Wherever God shows up, there's joy, there's freedom, the person God, the person Jesus, his manifest glory. When that shows up, all of these things come into effect. I'm believing for my healing. No, just get God on the scene. Worship him. Come in. Have his presence come into him. Fall in love with him again. And I was just meditating on it. I need to go there. We need to go there sometimes, but we were just talking about that. It's amazing because Adrian was just meditating on it, and then yesterday, I was reading in Revelation, Jesus rebuking the seven churches, and his whole thing was, we just got in this conversation, and I said, this has been weighing on me lately, and she says, what? That's been the same thing I've been studying. So, they lost their first love. They lost their first love. You know, Jesus didn't say anything about, faith things, and you're not this, you're not that. He's like, you lost your first love. You fell out of love with me. Even one of them he was talking to, I think it was Laodiceans, about when you are here, I mean, you hate sin, you hate these things, but you fell out of love with me. You're just lukewarm. See, we can still be doing the same thing. You know, we're laying hands on people. We're talking the same. We're talking the right thing, and we're doing everything. And the Lord's over here going, where am I at? See, we're having faith for the manifestations rather than connecting with him. And some of those churches were doing good because you look at all those things. Jesus said, I'm pleased with you're doing this good and this good and this good, but this is what I have against you. I don't want that. I don't want Jesus to go, okay, you know, whatever church you're doing this and this and this, but I have an issue with you in some of these areas. No, thank you. Right? And there's probably a lot of things that, you know, some things the Lord's like, we need to, you know, tune up in some areas. I get that. But at all a common denominator, it's all, you lost your love for me. You're not as passionate for me. It's a love. We have a love relationship with God. Too many people come to God, what they can get from him. That's what a lot of the church, the American church is, a lot of the church around the world, because, you know, spend some time in Kenya and people are, and healing is a dinner bell. There are some manifestations that God will do to draw people in, to woo them in. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we're chasing the goods rather than God. It's just not going to work for us. We're going to get things screwed up. Our priority is going to be out of order, right? I remember when I was a baby Christian, Andrew and I, we just got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I rededicated myself. I mean, God was doing things for us left and right, you know, because I was so hungry for God. And then after a while, some of those things, I didn't have, you know, all the amazing words and all of these things were happening. Well, it's kind of waning a little bit. That's kind of the year mark is where you see most people. I always gauge that, about a year. Whether you're in a church or you get born again, you're just into that. After that first year mark, you kind of start going, wane a little bit, get a little comfortable. You got to guard yourself. Because when you're hungry for God, you know, like yesterday I was reading in Revelation. It was a brand new book to me again. I'm like, how many times have I read Revelation before? And God will take things away and reveal things to you that I've never seen before. I was like, what version is this? What am I reading? I'm like, oh, this is my Bible. Yeah, same version I've always read, right? But it's different. I get that a lot for Genesis. I mean, every time I pick up Genesis, it's like a brand new book. I'm like, I don't see that in there before. Where did that come from? You know? You're looking at a different. That's hunger, right? Because it'll reveal more and more things to you. All right, we'll finish things up here. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven may also release you and forgive you of your faults. You ever notice this whole faith thing? You boil it down to it's a relationship, right? It's your heart issue. It's connecting with God. It's all about relationships if you haven't figured out with God, right? He's not really interested in about your clothes other than just put something on, please. You know, please wear clothes, right? You know, maybe clean yourself up a little bit, you know. But he's not concerned about those things. He's concerned about how are you treating other people, how are your other relationships, right? 1 John 5, we'll close with this. If I can find it, now this has got like Psalms and Proverbs in the back, and I'm like, what is going to help me, Jesus? Who gave me this Bible? Oh, it's Adrian. I guess it's Adrian. Who put Psalms and Proverbs in the back of this thing? What's wrong with these people? Oh, it's just new. Whatever. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. See if I can read this thing out of the Passion. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. For if we ask anything agreeable to his will, he will hear us. Let me just say this. Sometimes we're not getting things because we're not in his will. And you know, there are so many Christians out there that will pray things and they have no idea what God's will is, right? How do you know God's will? Get to know Him. We were just talking yesterday, Adrian and I were talking about something, and somebody had reached out to her and asked about something, and she goes, well, I just knew you weren't going to do that. I'm like, yeah. Right? She knows my will. Yeah, I'm never going to do that. It's just not going to happen. Right? So she told the person, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to. Right? Great people. Nice. But no. The way you get to know the will of someone is to spend time with them. We are taking these scriptures too many times as believers as formulas. And we're missing the relationship nuggets that work it all together. See, faith worketh by love, right? And what is love? Love is a relationship. So your faith won't work. I like to think of it as this. Faith is, the love is the oil that makes the engine work. And you know, we've seen people throughout church history and in the Bible where there'll be things that will work for a short time, but what happens is, sooner or later, you don't have oil on that engine, it's going to seize, it's going to freeze up, and you're going to have a big, expensive problem on your hand, right? Same with this. Things that might work for a little while, you might get a couple of things to work, and just because of God's mercy, and then after a while, if you don't have that love and that relationship with Him, it's not going to work anymore. Because there's a point there where you're going to have to grow and develop in some things. So how do we know His will? Is get to know Him. Spend time with Him, right? Oh, Lord, can you help me find some drugs? No! Lord, help me rob this bank. No! 1,000 times no. What are you, nuts? Whoa, come on now. Remember they had on the news one time, Brother Hagin was talking about this. One guy was praying to help him rob a bank, and he got caught. I don't understand. I prayed to God to help me rob the bank, and I got arrested. Okay. Hi there. Here's your stupid sign. Just walk on the road, right? Do we need to even talk about these things, right? Kind of like everything you need to know you learned in kindergarten. Yep, you should have figured that out, right? Somehow somebody failed along the way. So do we need to even talk about these things? But anyway, we just pray for people that they have gray matter manifest between their ears. And, you know, it is what it is. So, can't help them all. We're going to try to anyway. Amen. And since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before Him. For if we ask anything agreeable to His will, He will hear us. Agreeable. Agreeable. That means we need to know His character and if He's going to be agreeable with it. And if we know that He hears us, and what we ask, we also know that we have obtained the request we ask of Him. It's another thing. We got to know He's listening to us. Too many times, too many Christians think that God has the Deloitte hearing aid, the finest quality hearing aid money can buy. You ever seen those commercials before? God doesn't have a hearing aid. Been in prayer meetings before. Louder, let's holler louder. God's not deaf. Doesn't have hearing problems. No, He doesn't. He's listening to us. He wants to listen to us. He wants to know everything about us. Well, He already knows everything about us, but He wants us to connect with Him. And in fact, He wants to share things with us. Jesus said, now you're not only servants anymore, but you're friends. Friends share things. They're there for one another. Jesus, we give You glory this morning. We thank You. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Touch these people, Lord, like never before this week. Manifest Yourself to them like never before, Lord. I speak Your love all over all of them, Lord. But then I just have a faith and a formula for what to do, but You, God, a true person, a person of passion for us, pure love, that you are eager and willing to help us. But God, we're also willing to help you. We're willing to be here for you, to pray when you need prayer, to be a vessel for you. That our breath is on loan from you, Lord. Our body belongs to you. It is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Everything that we have, we are, physically, emotionally, spiritually, is yours. We are just stewards, Lord. This morning, if you need prayer for anything, we always want to pray for people. Agreement. Connect with a good God. Amen. You are good. Mercy endures forever, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, praise the Lord. Friday night. I am excited about the Bible study that's coming up here. 9 o'clock. It's going to be great. And, you know, if that's something you'd like to join in on, talk to Mr. Gary. Your socks will be blessed off. So bring multiple socks because they're going to get blessed. Amen. Friday night, come. Good times.